Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, it is the topic of discussion since about 9 a.m. on Wednesday. And of course, what I'm referring to is the Obama administration officials' wiretap of the property of the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. Of course, that is the accusation, the blockbuster accusation that was tweeted by our president early on Saturday morning. Where are we on this issue right now? Is there any validity to that accusation? And what are the possible outcomes, both legally and politically? That's going to be the topic of our discussion in segment one. And we'll see how the program unfolds. There's a lot of things going on as well with respect to a new immigration order that just was signed by the president at 11:30 Eastern time. And we're going to be trying to bring you some information on that as it becomes available. But anyway, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, and I'm again joined today by Gary Dahl and Sam Rohr. So the entire team is aboard today. And I want to say it's great to be back home after a phenomenal week and a half in the United Kingdom and Iceland. And while I love both of those countries that I was able to visit during my time away, and even more greatly appreciate what God did in the saving of souls and the dramatic impact that was left on the lives of those to whom we ministered, I want you to know I am thrilled, beyond thrilled, to be back home in the United States of America. And no sooner did we arrive home than this emerging story broke, and that is the accusation that entities within the Obama administration wiretapped, is the phrase Trump used. That may not be the most accurate way to describe it, but surveillance was initiated on Trump Towers and people that live or work inside Trump Towers, the location there in New York. And here is what we know. And so we're going to try to bring you up to speed. Number one, we know that in July, evidently, entities within the Obama administration sought a FISA, which stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and that was an act passed in 1978. There was a FISA request for, a warrant to monitor conversations that were taking place. Okay, we know that for sure took place according to what is out there reported in about 8 or 9 different independent media sources. And of course, this had to do with supposed interaction with Russian entities by those within the Obama transition team, the Obama administration, and all of that. Initially, we understand that FISA request was denied. Then again, in October, another attempt was made after the request had been funneled down and made a little more tight. And ultimately, that request was successful. The second thing we know is this. The request and the surveillance produced no wrongdoing with respect to conversations with those Russian entities. And then number three, we know that Trump alleges that the surveillance evidently continued well after he and his team were cleared of any wrongdoing. And of course, if that is the case, and if that did take place, then that would be an illegal act. And then number four, we know this, it appears, and again, I emphasize the word appears, as if there may be a congressional probe. At least the president is calling for that into exactly what happened. Now, Sam, I want to go to you and ask this question. For the president to tweet an accusation of that magnitude, it would appear to me, at least, that he would have to have some kind of clear and convincing evidence as to the fact that some type of surveillance, i.e. wiretapping, took place. I'd love to have your thoughts on that.
Well, Dave, I think it is obvious to me anyways that he has. Now, when I say obvious, I think it's very interesting when you are hearing people comment on this. And there are a whole range of Democrats commenting on it. Schumer from New York, Senate Minority Leader Schumer, has made a comment. And it's very clear, as he is trying to say, Dave, that he's raising an accusation basically that Trump is not telling the truth. He is making a statement that Obama has flatly denied that he's done this, quote, end quote. Therefore, he's saying that Obama has told the truth. And either way, he's making this scenario and what the Democrats are doing, and I think the broader enemies, the globalist enemies of the administration, they're trying to make the case, and as Schumer was saying, either way, He said the president is in trouble. He's either falsely spreading information or he's conducting himself in such a way that is unbecoming of conduct to a president. They think they've got Donald Trump and the president stuck no matter what he does. If it's true, they think he's stuck. If it's false, they think he's stuck. Now, bottom line, your question, is there enough evidence to suggest that what the president is saying is true? Well, I think, Dave, that it is. I mean, there are leading liberal newspapers, Head Street, The Guardian, McClatchy News, New York Times. These papers have all run articles talking about these applications for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court rulings. FISA is what you're calling, basically the request to wiretap, the request to listen in on behalf of government, the individuals, private individuals. And Dave, to think, therefore, it is true. I don't think the question is a true, Dave. The question, I believe, is how extensive was it? And how, what, and who were they looking for? Were they actually trying to tap Donald Trump himself? Certain members of the campaign? This started, Dave, almost a year ago. This is a big deal. This is a big, big deal. But bottom line, yes, the president, I believe, did not say this just because he woke up this morning and say, oh, I have a feeling that somebody wiretapped him. I believe, in fact, that the evidence is there and these other newspapers have actually laid the case for it.
Well, you know, I don't know if you men have heard what Mark Levin did, but Mark Levin laid out in a very clear fashion on Fox News over the weekend the 8 or 9 independent sources, and I'm talking about very liberal newspapers, none of these magazines or newspapers that he cited that have reported on this, Sam, as you so clearly said, are bastions of conservatism at all. They're very liberal papers, and so it appears to me very clearly that there is something out there of a significant proportions. Gary, let me ask you this. If there was type of illegality committed against Donald Trump via this wiretapping or surveillance or whatever terminology we want to use, what are the political consequences of that? What are the potential legal consequences of that? And to me, and I'm just going to ask you to give your thoughts on it, to me it appears that it would make Watergate look like child's play if all of this appears to be true and if it can be tracked all the way back to the White House under President Obama.
Well, I think Watergate has started to look like child's play many, many years ago because there have been so many things take place since then that it sort of has, you know, put a cover over Watergate, unfortunately. I think that both the political as well as the legal consequences would be great if this plays out to be true, what Donald Trump has said. My point is, number one, I don't doubt it. Because I believe that Donald Trump has more information, more intelligence than anybody else in this nation. I do question the way that he brought it out. I know he likes to do the tweeting thing and be involved with Twitter, but I kind of wish he might have brought it out in some other way. Yet I do know that he wants to get out to the American public. But I think that the ramifications of this could be very serious. I want to say this before we go into the break. I think the best thing for Chuck Schumer to do is to be quiet. Every time he opens his mouth, he creates more division in the United States of America.
Well, Gary, I would agree with you. And friends, we know there are insidiously deceptive things that are done within governments, including our own. There are lies that are told, deceptions that are perpetrated. We're going to talk in segment 2 about this thing of lying. Is there an appropriate time to communicate dishonesty with respect to government? War? Bottom line is this. When we come back, is there a time that's it's right to lie? Don't miss this.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On March 6, 1776, General Washington issued the order, "The legislature has set apart a day of fasting, prayer, and humiliation to implore the Lord and giver of all victory to pardon our manifold sins and bless the Continental Army with His divine favor and protection. All officers and soldiers are strictly enjoined to pay reverence to the Lord of hosts for His mercies and for those blessings which, upon our uprightness of life, can alone encourage us to hope through His mercy to obtain." Within days, Washington, using 50 captured cannons, forced the British to evacuate Boston.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. There's a lot of things breaking even as this program is underway, and we want to bring that to you with as much specificity as we can. One of the two items that we want to bring up very, very quickly is this. The United States Supreme Court has turned down the opportunity to review the case coming out of Virginia. It has to do with this individual named Gavin Grimm, who is a transgender male. He was born biologically, or she was born biologically female, but is a transgender individual now and has been seeking the right to use the boys' restroom in the school where she attends. And the case made its way all the way to the United States Supreme Court and just announced today the high court has refused actually to hear that case. They're kicking it back to the lower court, which would appear to be a good thing because the lower court decision was that, in essence, a person has to use the restroom of their biological gender. Now, we'll be talking more about that in the days ahead, I'm sure, as this case goes forward. But the other big issue that is just breaking, in fact, right before we went on the air, is the fact that President Trump has signed a new executive order with respect to immigration coming into this country from predominantly Muslim countries that pose a threat to the United States of America. And Gary, I want to go to you because I believe you have some of the latest breaking information with respect to that story.
Yes, I do, Dave, and I just want to highlight a couple of these things because we do want to get on to our agenda, but I think it's important to get these things out. The new order will suspend refugee entries for 120 days, but no longer will suspend Syrian refugee admissions indefinitely. The new order will also ban travelers from six countries who did not obtain a visa before January 29th. The directive no longer includes Iraq. And Iraq, a key U.S. ally in the fight against ISIS, was removed from the travel ban list after Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said he spoke with the government over there. The order also makes clear that green card holders are not affected. If you have travel documents, if you actually have a visa, if you are a legal permanent resident, you are not covered under this particular executive action. The Trump administration also plans to cap the number of refugees it accepts to 50,000 a year, down sharply from the 110,000 accepted by the Obama administration. According to the new executive order, the United States Department of Homeland Security will have 20 days to perform a global country-by-country review of the identity and security information that each country provides to the United States. Countries will then have 50 days to comply with requests to update or improve the quality of the information. The new order also details categories of people eligible to enter into the United States of America. And it just goes on and on, but it sort of is a different direction. It's tweaked some things, and I think that most people believe that it will be found in compliance with any court or with the law, David.
Sam, I want to go to you very, very quickly. I know a lot of people criticize President Trump for releasing or coming up and signing the first executive action with respect to limitations from these seven countries, now six countries, and they said he didn't think the thing through clearly enough. It sounds like on this one, they've taken into account the green card holders and all the things that were points of contention from those who said he too hastily drafted the first executive action. Sam, I want to ask you this. I think, and we have established it very clearly on this program via some of our guests, that President Trump obviously understands the incredible danger America's in from Islamic immigration into this country and the threat posed to our safety and security. Do you think that that is the motivator behind what he did with the first executive action? And do you think he's gone far enough in this second one?
Well, Dave, the president, it appears, from all indications that I have, that we have, with contacts that are working very closely with the White House, yes, the president does, in fact, understand the very serious threat that that faces this nation as a result of jihadi Islam, Muslim Brotherhood. It's a very, very clear thing. And I will say that, Dave, there are component pieces of this issue which are tied into this current set of leaks and that kind of thing that's happening out of this White House. These are people, Dave, across the spectrum that are intending to take down this administration. It is very, very clear. Now, in this case, on the immigration part, his first order, there was nothing wrong with it. The opponents tried to make it look like it was hasty, not thought out. But Dave, who was it that said it was inappropriate? It was a liberal appointee, Obama appointee on the left coast, that said that there was a problem with it. The president did nothing in that order that his predecessor has not done. And so, or other president, he was on solid constitutional, statutory, and biblical grounds. What he did right here was just to come back and make some technical tweaks in the language to avoid the technical parts that that court, that judge out there ruled. So, no, it's not as broadly applied, Dave, as I think it needs to be, or as the experts we've had on this program, this guest, have stated it should be. I think he was doing this just to get a victory in light of this court ruling, which was off the wall out there on the left coast.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Sam. I think you were 100% correct. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that first order. And this one probably does not go as far as it really should. But at least from what I heard Gary read there, if that is the elements of this new order, it is going to be greatly beneficial to the safety and security of the United States. And friends, I promise you this, we will be looking into this further. And in future programs, we will be discussing this in a much more thorough fashion. Guys, I want to shift gears here for just a couple of minutes. And in this segment, the remaining part of it, the next segment, I want to talk a little bit about what appears to be a I mean, a really growing, brewing problem within the government. It's been going on, obviously, since the beginning of time, but it seems to be coming out, and the American people are becoming much more aware of it, and that is the incessant, the incredible lies that are told within governmental officials and within agencies inside the United States government. To be honest with you guys, somebody is not telling the truth with respect to Trump's accusation that Trump Tower was wiretapped. It can't be the way the Republicans are saying it and the way the Democrats are saying it at the same time. So somebody, one of the two administrations, either the Trump administration or the Obama administration, is perpetuating lies. And I have a strong opinion about which one of those it is. But the fact of the matter is this. Lying has become the norm within government. Now, here is the thing I want to go to you, Gary, about and ask you a couple of questions. There are two places in the Bible where it appears as if dishonesty earns the approval, and maybe that's too strongly worded, at least the tacit acceptance of God. In the book of Exodus, Pharaoh decides to weaken the people of Israel by killing every newborn boy. And that, of course, is recorded in Exodus chapter 1, verse 16. But the midwives, the Egyptian midwives, disobey the directive given by Pharaoh, and they let the Hebrew boys live. And when the king asked them why they were doing this, the answer on the part of the midwives was this, and I'm putting it in modern terminology. They say the Hebrew women are lively, or the word means vigorous, and they give birth before the midwife can come to them. Now, regardless of how vigorous the Hebrew women may have been, which may have been partially true, the statement really what was a deception. It was meant to lead Pharaoh to believe a falsehood, namely that the midwives were doing their best to obey his command, but just couldn't get there in time. Does their dishonesty please God? Well, it doesn't appear as if it does, because the next verse says, God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. In fact, the scripture says God built them houses. So in other words, Gary, they were not rebuked. They were blessed. Now, there is a second example in the book of Joshua where spies are sent out to spy out Jericho. Rahab, who was a prostitute, hides them. When the king's messengers come looking for them, she said, yes, the men did come here. I didn't know where they came from, but they've already left. And if you hurry, perhaps, you know, you can catch up to them, which again was not the truth as well. And yet Rahab is spared when the city of Jericho is destroyed. Gary, I want to go to you. I know we've got just a couple of minutes here, but it appears, and I'm emphasizing the word appears, as if God is blessing the dishonesty of individuals in these two situations. Please comment on that, if you would.
Well, first of all, God never blesses dishonesty. You know, we realize that God is the one who causes, allows, and directs all things. If God in his grace and if God in his mercy wants to, as it were, don't want to use the word overlook, but refuse to bring judgment upon a particular person for a particular thing, that, of course, is in his realm to do that. And I think that we do see that in the Exodus and the Joshua passages of Scripture that you highlighted there. But we need to keep in mind that as we study the Scripture, that the Word of God clearly teaches us that lying is wrong. Satan himself is referred to as the father of lies. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, we're told not to lie one to another. Titus 1 tells us that God cannot lie. James 3:14 says, lie not against the truth. So lying is never something that God is pleased with. Now that differs a little bit with a strategy. The other question is, do we need to tell all of the truth that we know? In other words, sometimes yes, we need to tell the truth, but sometimes there are certain things that can be withheld and should be withheld so that we don't hurt other people. But I think that the general foundation principle to take into consideration is that God speaks the truth, and God wants us to speak the truth at all times.
Sam, it sounds as if what Gary is saying is this: God's blessing on the midwives in Egypt and God's blessing on Rahab in the situation in Joshua, God blessed them not because of the dishonesty that they perpetrated, but he blessed them in spite of the dishonesty they perpetrated because they were acting in faith and in accordance with the God of the Hebrew people. I'd love for you to follow up on that.
Okay, Dave, perhaps we can do that when we come back, okay?
We'll do that following the break. And then, friends, I want to ask this question. Is there, as Gary said, a difference between telling the truth and or lying rather, and not communicating everything that you know? And what about that in a wartime situation? We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more following this brief timeout.
Attend the Spring Fashion Show at Bloomingdale's, located at King of Prussia Mall on Tuesday, March 7th. The Montgomery County Republican Women's Leadership invites you to join them for a time of refreshment, the fashion show, and a savings coupon from Bloomingdale's. Enter at the lower level, court side of the mall. For more information, contact Nancy Becker at 215-368-5940. 215-368-5940. Tickets are $35 each. Plan on having fun and supporting a great cause.
News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. President Trump signing a new executive order placing a temporary travel ban on various Muslim-majority nations deemed terrorist threats. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson.
While no system can be made completely infallible, the American people can have high confidence. We are identifying ways to improve the vetting process and thus keep terrorists from entering our country.
The new rewrite leaving Iraq off the list of affected countries and does not affect people already holding visas and green cards from those countries. Democrats still condemning the immigration order. Four ballistic missiles launched by North Korea. Experts now worried about an attack on Japan.
A saturation attack against Japan by North Korea. A large number of missiles overwhelming the defenses there. Remember, too, there are 50,000 U.S. troops based in Japan.
Fox's Greg Palcott. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Perhaps the most moving moment at our Friends of the Family banquet last fall was hearing Baronelle Stutzman tell her story of prosecution and persecution because she chose to follow her faith in operating her florist business. You won't find a more loving person than Baronelle, a 72-year-old grandmother who has operated her florist business for decades. And yet she faces financial ruin, thanks to the state of Washington and the ACLU going after her for choosing not to design and create floral arrangements for a same-sex wedding for a customer, one she had served for years and would still serve today. But she says participating in a same-sex ceremony is a violation of her Christian faith. She lost her appeal before the Washington State Supreme Court last week and now will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. You can read more about her case and its implications for religious freedom at our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, when Richard Nixon was elected president of the United States, he chose Herbert Klein, who was an old-time friend, long-time advisor, to serve as his communications director. And Klein, at the first press conference he conducted, made the following statement with respect to the incoming Nixon administration. And I quote, "Truth will become the hallmark of the Nixon administration. We will be able to eliminate any possibility of a credibility gap in this administration." And then Nixon himself followed up by making this comment, "Let us begin by committing ourselves to the truth, to see it like it is, and to tell it like it is, to find the truth, to speak the truth, and to live the truth." And of course, friends, we know how that all turned out. Nixon was one of the most prolific liars and claimed he did not do certain things with respect to Watergate. And of course, it all came out later, was proven that he did and that he was an incredible liar. By the way, friends, the outgoing administration, the Obama administration, came into office claiming we will be the most transparent administration in U.S. history. And yet, friends, I think it's abundantly clear that throughout the 8 years they were in office, they lied incessantly about a multiplicity of things. Now, some would say this, it's okay If for the sake of advancing a good cause, if it's okay if you're going to advance the cause that is moral on another, in another issue, on another level, it's okay to lie to do that. And what we're trying to do today is talk about that. Is there a time when it is ever condoned in the Bible to be dishonest? And we cited these two examples, one of the Hebrew midwives or the Egyptian midwives who were not arriving, they told the king in time, to help the Hebrew women give birth, which was not true. And then the situation there in Jericho where Rahab said, yes, the spies came in, but they've already gone. Hurry up, maybe you can catch them, when actually she had them hid right there on the roof of her own house. And the question I want to go back to, Sam, is this. My point, I think, is, and what I think Gary was saying, is that when the Bible talks about God blessing the Egyptian midwives and building them houses and God blessing Rahab, he blessed not because of their dishonesty. He blessed in spite of their dishonesty. These were people that were corrupt people. They were pagans, but they were declaring an allegiance to a belief in the God of the Hebrew people. And according to the book of Hebrews, the Bible calls that faith. And so God was rewarding not their dishonesty. He was rewarding their faith. Sam, I would love to have your comments on that.
Well, Dave, I think that that's exactly what you were saying there. It's interesting that in the case of Rahab, Dave, she was included in the book of Hebrews.
That's correct.
In what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. And that's why she was there, and it supports what you're saying. She was there because of her faith. Now, here it is. She was an idol worshiper. She was there as a part of a nation that was not at all fearing the God of Jehovah, the God of Israel. And when the opportunity came, she chose to serve or fear, have faith in the God of heaven and turn her back on the gods of the land. That is why she did what she did. And for that reason, she was put in the Hall of Fame of Faith, because she risked her own life at a point where she surely would have been put to death. And so that point there, clearly God recognizes this matter of faith. Now, within that, Dave, there's also this, the Egyptian midwives. Here it was. They were given an order by the king, civil authority, to do what? To kill babies, to murder babies. They chose not to do that. They chose to obey God rather than man. For that, God gave them commendation, because they recognized a fear of God and they put God's law ahead of another law. Now, could have they chosen to spare the babies' lives and just told the authorities there that we don't care what you say and we're going to despise and reject what you say? I suppose they could have. Dave, I frankly don't have an answer for that. All we do know by these texts is that God did not condone the lying aspect, but he did recognize the fear of God and the willingness for both of these people, Rahab and the folks in Israel, that he would recognize their willingness to die for their fear of God if need be. That's what he was recognizing. So, Dave, this is a thorny issue. There's no question about it. But clearly, God has very established from the beginning, he doesn't condone lying. And so we can't ever get to the point of saying that lying is acceptable.
Yeah, and that's not what we're trying to say. We're just trying to wrestle with this, because there are those that would argue, I'm a person that serves in government and my job requires me to lie. And they will cite the examples that we are using today as justification for their dishonesty. That is not what we're saying. Gentlemen, I just want to make this comment. In Rahab's case, she was a convert from paganism to the God of the Hebrew people. And she, if I could word it this way, was probably barely 10 minutes old in her quote-unquote faith when she made that statement of dishonesty. And again, God rewards her faith, not her dishonesty. The Egyptian midwives were pagans. They're fearing the God of the Hebrew people, but there is not necessarily an indication that they're anything other at this point than pagan women. And so, you know, what do you expect pagans to do? They do what pagan people do. They lie, and they certainly did that. And God does not reward them for their dishonesty. He rewards them because of their, as you so clearly said, Sam, their fear of the God of the Hebrew people. Gary, I want to shift gears, because I want to ask this question. When you put it in a war context, There is a fascinating passage in the book of Joshua where God tells Joshua, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. I want you to take all the people of war with you, and I want you to go down to Ai. And of course, this is a well-known situation in the scriptures. Fresh off of victory at Jericho, they don't take everybody down to Ai initially, and they are defeated, and they lose a large number of people. They come back. God says, look, I want you to go down to Ai, and here's how I want you to work this next time. I want you to set an ambush. I want you to go toward the city. I want you to appear as if you're being defeated. I want you to retreat, but you're going to have liars in wait, in ambush, that when you retreat and pull the men of Ai out of the city, then the liars in wait can go into the city. They can conquer it, set it on fire. And boy, when you see the fire, the smoke ascending from the burning city, then those of you that are appearing to flee can turn around and you can defeat the people of Ai. That was a war tactic, Gary, that was deceptive. Now, I want to ask you, is that kind of deception different than just an outright lie? We're talking about a strategy deception in war versus someone just stating verbally an outright lie. Is that different?
Well, first of all, let me say that when you read the text there, the liars in wait aren't liars.
No, we don't mean like L-I-A-R.
They were laying in wait. Let's put it that way. And just a point of clarification. Dave, I see that as battle line strategy that God himself set up. It was not a direct, outright lie. It was the battle line strategy that God set up in order to see that the city, the town of Ai, was actually defeated. And we know that it works. And it worked. And it's interesting that even a lot of our modern war colleges will many, many, many times study the way that Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. So what we see there is not an outright lie. It's battle line strategy, war strategy, and I think that there is a difference there. But I think also we want to emphasize, just going back to Rahab, the harlot, and the midwives, we need to understand, I think, three things. Number one, God always looks on the heart, and he understands why people say and do what they do. Number two, we need to realize that God in the Bible will record the weaknesses of humanity. In other words, everything that's in the Bible is not that which God condones, but he does record the weaknesses of humanity. That's one of the reasons why we believe that the Bible is so true. If the Bible was just written by mankind, it would paint man as being perfect. The Word of God doesn't do that. It reveals the weaknesses of mankind. And then the third thing we need to keep in mind, particularly as it relates to lying, is that ends do not ever justify the means. We need to keep that in mind. But all of that differs a little bit from battle line strategy. These people, as I see it in Joshua, were not outright lying. They were following battle line strategy in order to accomplish the task to the glory of God.
Sam, I don't want to minimize, you know, the discussion we're having or try to make it appear trivial, but I played a lot of basketball on the high school level and a little bit on the college level. And we had a thing that every player does it, you're coached to do it. If you're down inside, you give a head fake like you're going to take a shot to try to get your defender up in the air, and then you can move into him in such a way as to create a situation where the official calls a foul on the defending player, the one who's guarding you. Some would say even doing that in an athletic competition, the giving of a fake, the implication or the suggestion that you're going to do a certain thing on the basketball court when you're really not going to do that at all, that is deception and that is wrong. Sam, basically what Gary's talking about, the men of Ai did it on a military level. They created a head fake that they were fleeing from the men of Ai when all of this was a trap that God had told them to set up. I'd love for you to flesh that out a little bit more and help our listeners understand why that is not the same as uttering an outright falsehood.
Dave, I'll draw a distinction here. Absolutely, in a personal circumstance, I don't see an exception to that at all. And that's what Gary says. Ends do not justify the means. You don't lie to another person, a wife, a husband, an employer, with a hope that you're going to have ends justify the means. Never. But Dave, there is strategy, military strategy or otherwise, that does not fall into that personal lying category. But we're going to have to flesh that out because we can't let it hang right there either.
Well, when we come back from the break, we are going to flesh that out further. And we're going to ask this question. What if someone asks you, as they broke into your home, is your wife and children here? And if you told them yes, they were going to perpetrate an act of horror on your children. What's the right thing to do there? We're going to flesh that out as well after this brief timeout.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's Prime Minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Never give in. Never give in.
Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat.
Never, never, never.
Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, the story of Corrie ten Boom is a well-known and well-documented one, and it is documented in the classic work, The Hiding Place, where the Corrie ten Boom family hid Jews in their home from the Nazi regime and did not tell the truth about what they were doing. So in light of that, Sam, I want to go to you first. And you know the story about Corrie ten Boom well. You know that there are a multiplicity of examples we could give in addition to that situation where Jews were protected from the Nazi regime by people who just simply did not tell the truth or withheld the whole truth from the Nazi regime with respect to what they were doing in protecting the Jewish people. Now, my question is this. It's akin to if you, as a husband, had someone break into your home, they wanted to harm your wife and children. You had told your wife, your children to go and hide in a particular part of the house where you felt they would be safe. Someone puts a gun in your face and says, Sam Rohrer, do you have family in this house? And if you say yes, or if they ask you, where are they in the house? And if you say yes, or if you give any specific instruction, they're going to go and harm your wife, rape your wife, harm her, kill your children, kill your wife. Sam, is it wrong to be dishonest in that scenario? Now, I know that's a tough one, but you're a guy to answer it. So what do you think?
Well, Dave, you know how to ask tough questions. Because as we've been talking and texting with each other, this is a very, very difficult topic because the circumstances sometimes, and as soon as I say that, the circumstances can change. It automatically looks like it means the ends justify the means. And if we hold to biblical truth, the ends don't justify the means. But Dave, there is a difference in talking and telling truthfully to your wife, your spouse, your children, those to whom you are responsible, those who are matters of law enforcement when you're before taking your oath, those kinds of things, those are clear. I think those are clear. You raised the story of Corrie ten Boom. I believe that in that circumstances, one story book that I had read is that her father was so committed to telling the truth that one time when they came into the house, the Nazis came into the house, and they asked them, are you harboring Jews? He did not want to tell a lie. And so they said, they were sitting at the table, and they said, ah, ha, ha, sure, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they said, they're here, and they said, where are they? They say, they're under the table. They're under the table. And they said, they looked under the table, they're not under the table. Well, the fact of the matter is, there was a trap door under the table, and they were under the floor. And so that was, I have seen that as an end, that they actually did tell the truth, relied upon God to confuse those who came in, and so he did not violate. Now, so there's that example. Can God reward the individual who wants to honor him? I think, Dave, that is ultimately the bottom line here of honoring God. You know, I think, and I'm not answering your question directly, but I'm going to raise a point here. I believe that when a person fears God and knows what God loves and what God hates, that under certain circumstances, like the military circumstance and so forth, I think that God can give direction and wisdom at that point of, you know, whether you say the whole truth, you know, or withhold something depending upon what's there. It's not the same as lying to your wife or your children or deceiving them. There's a difference, hard to define in 30 seconds of time. Dave, I have a grave concern, though, when you look at the kinds of things we have happening in our government, CIA, others right now, they're in the business of deceiving the enemy. That's what they do. But, Dave, when a government and does that where in areas of strategy where they need to, but they're operating within a framework, Dave, where they have rejected God's authority across the board. I'm more concerned that in some regard that they don't ever recognize the truth.
Sam, I could not agree with you more. In fact, during the break, I was talking with someone and stating that I know a friend, and I'm not going to mention where he served, but he's a believer. And he said part of my job in the military was to deceive with respect to foreign policy. And he said it's gotten to the point where the lines between truth and error are becoming blurred. And he said I had to get out for my own Christian faith. Now, he was not talking about lying to his wife. He was not talking about lying to civil government. He was talking about deceptions perpetrated, head fakes, so to speak, militarily, with respect to enemies who wanted to destroy America. But even there, he said, it got to the place where I was being asked to do things that I knew was a violation of my Christian faith. I just could not do it any longer, and I had to leave. And I think it goes back to what Gary said. The bottom line, friends, is this. There is no justification for lying found anywhere in the Bible. When people who are very imperfect perpetrated acts of deception, and it appears as if God was blessing them, he was not blessing their deception. He was blessing their faith and their fear of him. And God understands the imperfect nature of people, and he doesn't justify their dishonesty. He was rewarding their faith. That is crystal clear from the book of Hebrews, which in chapter 11 has that great faith chapter. Gary, I want to go to you, and I'd like you to tie it all up here and give us a very clarion statement, a very clear statement about what God expects as far as from his people with respect to honesty and truthfulness.
Well, Dave, I think we already have it all tied up. Maybe I'll try to untie it. It's a good discussion, and I think that what we need to make clear to our people is that God always wants us to tell the truth, always wants us to tell the truth. And we need to learn to obey God and then just trust him for the results. You know, you asked the question, if somebody came into my house and asked if my wife and children were there, that they were going to, if they were there, they were going to kill them. You know, I would not tell a lie. I would do everything that I can to protect their lives and to defend them with my 12-gauge shotgun. I mean, there would be ways of dealing with that. You know, we've talked about self-defense before on this program. It's important. And so I think it's very, very important always to tell the truth. Anytime we begin to justify a lie, we are going down the direction that the devil would want us to go. However, Dave and Sam, there's a time when we don't tell everything that we know. For instance, I've been a pastor for over 43 years. There have been times when we have had to, for instance, discipline people within our church. When it came to telling the church congregation the reason for discipline, we did not say every little thing that could be said about the acts of discipline that went on. If you understand what I'm saying, simply because of the fact that if the individual who was disciplined would repent, the whole picture of their dirty, filthy actions did not need to be out there for people to see. We told the truth as much as the truth needed to be told, and still we did not lie. I don't know if I'm further confusing this or not, but do you understand what I'm saying? We always start with the truth. We don't always have to say everything that we know. But when it comes to what we say, we've got to make certain that we tell the truth. And that's the underlying fashion of it all.
Gary, I think that is an outstanding clarification. And Sam, I know we have just a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you to close us in prayer, because truth, the scripture says, is fallen in the streets. And I feel like within much of what happens in the United States of America, truth has fallen. And we need an administration committed to the truth. So take us to the throne of grace very quickly.
Heavenly Father, we, in these few seconds, we come before you. We ask, O Lord, for your guidance, for your direction, for God's people in focus, Lord. May they look to you and fear you, and may our people in this land fear you, Lord, and your laws, knowing that only then can we expect your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Friends, what a topic. I know it demands more time. We'll probably talk about it later, but friends, we wanted to address it today, and we want you to join us tomorrow, 23 hours now, for more Stand in the Gap Today. Have a blessed afternoon.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.